produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Afternoon or good day. I don't know what time it is wherever we are listening. My name is Rahira. It is indeed a blessing and a privilege to have time to share the Word of God with all of you who are listening. I just want to start firstly by praying. Father, we thank you for this appointment. We thank you that you have preserved us and until we saw this day. And we have made this day and we will rejoice. And Father, I still pray for Kayla and the team. I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing through them. I thank you that you are lifting them up. I thank you that they will go from glory to glory, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ. Father, as I minister today and share your word, Father, it will not be me speaking, but it will be the Holy Spirit. Father God, giving the word and giving the truth. My God, I pray. Father, we change and transform lives in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen and amen. Welcome again to the Awakening Radio program. It has been a while, and I'm so excited. I've been reflecting a lot about what to share with you, and I want to share with you a message that really God has been talking to me about for a few weeks now, which I also shared on social media. And the question is, are you locatable? You know, are you occupying the space that God is expecting you to occupy in the season? And really, I'm anchoring this word on Genesis 3, chapter 3, verses 9, where God was asking Adam and saying, Adam, where are you? You know, so this is a question that God was asking Adam because Adam had moved. In my spirit, that God is saying it is time for his children, it is time for the people of God to really reflect on the position they're occupying, on their path they're walking, to say, am I really running the lane that God wants me to run? Am I occupying a position that God wants me to occupy? Am I in the place that God wants me to be at right now? So you would know the story of Adam, that Adam was placed, after he was created, God placed him in the Garden of Eden. And there was communion between God and Adam all the time because, you know, when there is communion with God, there is nowhere where the Bible tells us that Adam needs to pray. But Adam had the voice of God. God instructed Adam, and Adam did exactly what God wanted him to do. So he was operating under the will of God. He was hearing from God. And the Bible tells us that Adam was placed in the land, and God said to him, till the land. And God said to him, you are free to eat of every living plant. So there were positions. There was a position of communion, where we know that Adam was communing with God. And there was a position in terms of the physical position where we know that Adam was placed in a land. You know, there was a position of fellowshipping with God and having that relationship with God. So, and there is a sequence that I'm seeing. If Adam moved from a physical position where he hid himself together with his wife, but before that happened, there was a disconnection between the two of them and God. So before you move physically, it means you move away from your relationship with God. So the first position, when you have moved away from the location, from the place, you need to reflect and you will understand that it means you have moved away from the position and the union and the fellowship that you have had with God. So that's what happened. And the reason why they moved away from God is because the devil came in Genesis chapter 3. The devil came to the woman and said to the woman, you know, there is something better that you can get. And God knows that if you get this fruit, you will be like him. So God was using, I mean, the devil was using an object to shift the heart, the mind of Eve, and finally of Adam away from God. So, and we're going to look at if you have moved from your position, what are the things that you need to, that causes you to move? Because, you know, the Bible tells us that you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. But I came across something that said, before the truth can set you free, you must know the lie that was holding you hostage. So we're going to look at what are some of the things that have moved you away from God so that you can be able to deal and demystify those myths and understand that those are not truth, and so that you can go back to the position that you're in. I want to say to you, you know, the reason why God wants us to go back to the position, firstly, to reconcile it back to him, it's because God wants us to be under his plan. God wants us to be under his will. God knows that we are workmanship created for good works, that all things in our life will work out for glory. Not only that, God wants us to be the light in the world. God wants us to be solutionists in the world. God wants us to be salt, the salt of the world, which means we are meant to solve problems in the world. We are meant to bring love. We are meant to bring unity. So if those things are not there, it means we as the children of God have moved away. So I hear God saying that, call my children back to the original position so that they can find themselves and go back to the position. So if you have moved from God, what might be the reason? If we look at Adam and Eve, for example, you can see that pride is a very dangerous thing. Pride can move you away from God. The Bible in Proverbs 16, verses 8, tells us that pride comes before the fall. You know, when you have pride, it means you are focusing on self-importance. You want to, you think you are much more important than other people. And in this case, Adam was showing Eve, I mean, not Adam, the devil was showing Eve and Adam that they can be like God. So you want to occupy the position of God. You want to be idolized. And I have seen many people who start on the journey with God very well. And as they become successful, they feel like they can compete with God. So pride can actually move you away from God. And we have seen it with Adam and Eve. And sometimes, you know, God has spoken to me many times about pride. And sometimes you think you don't have pride until you react somehow. You are in a location where they are greeting somebody else, where they are acknowledging somebody else, and you are not acknowledged. And there is a spirit in you that says, why am I not acknowledged? You know, that's a sense of pride. Don't they see that I'm important? And you get shocked. And God was showing me these things and saying, listen to your own voice. You don't even know. When I tell you you've got pride, you don't know where you want to be acknowledged. You want to be seen to be much more important, you know. Whereas the purpose of our life is to glorify God. The purpose of our life is to let the will of God and walk under the will of God, not under our will. So pride is something that we have seen that it can move you away from God. You look at the life of Saul, you know. Saul didn't even see that God has moved away from him. Saul was occupied by power. Pride also comes with a need to have power. And you must remember, I want to talk to the people who feel that they are called. when you are called, it is not about your own power. It is not about your self-importance. When you are called to make to a life of significance. You are called to a life that embetters other people. You are called to a life of serving. You know, Jesus Christ said to his disciples, if you want to be the greatest, you start first by being the least. If you want to be served, you start first by being a servant. And his life was like that. He said the greatest love is where you lay your life for other people, you know. So be careful of pride, because pride can move you away from God, and pride can move you away from the people that you are meant to serve. Because when people start feeling like you don't recognize them, you don't acknowledge them, you don't love them because of pride, people can move you away. And pride can move you from a position that God wants you to, that God wants you to be in. Pride can move you from a role, from a function that is supposed to enable you to serve. So that is the first thing. And Lord, I thank you for that word. Lord, I thank you that you are putting the spirit of pride from us. Lord, and Lord, I thank you that the Holy Spirit is there, my Father, to guide us, to teach us and to show us and to convict us when we act out of pride. My God, the Holy Spirit is also showing us, God, when we don't listen to you, because when you tell us, God, to do something, and our pride says, but I'm big enough, I'm better enough, I can't do that. Father, I thank you that the Holy Spirit will convict us so that, Lord, we can listen to your word and have a childlike attitude and have a childlike heart where we will follow your word no matter what, because we must believe that at the end all things will work out for good. Thank you, Lord, for that. So let us move to the next thing that God was talking to me about to see. What is moving people away from the position that I want them to be? And God says the second thing is fear. You know, 2 Timothy verses 1, chapter 1, verse 7, it says that God has not given us the spirit of fear. And as a psychologist as well, I've worked with many people who really battle with fear. You know, fear of the unknown, fear to be humiliated, fear to fail. You know, fear, and most of the time, when you really try to help somebody and say, but this thing that you are fearing, is it really real? You find that it is not real. You know, people have seen how other people have failed, or people have seen how other people have been humiliated, or people have just seen, you know, how other people have really gotten negative experience, and they live with this fear. And this fear causes them to get stuck and not move into the position that God wants them. So fear doesn't come from God at all. Fear comes from our programming in our minds. Fear comes from our experiences, like I said. It could be that you have watched other people or you yourself, where you have went, and I've had this experience before, where I have started a women's ministry. And, you know, God, at the end, God said to me, shut it, because I didn't call you to women, but I've called you to a nation. And I felt like I had failed. And for me to restart again, I had a lot of questions to say that, God, will I make it? Can I really do this? Will I not be the stock of love? Will be other people not humiliate me? Will other people not laugh at me? You know, and God, I want to say to you, God did not give us a spirit of fear. First of all, when you have fear, you must ask, am I walking closely with God? I have walked the pathway. I hear the voice of God every day. And I have seen God when he says that my word will not come back void. When he says that my word, and I want to repeat that, my word will not come back void. So when you hear the word of God, when you hear the plans of God, when you hear the vision of God, when you hear the instructions from God, you have no reason to really have fear. So when you have fear, it means you are not walking with God, or it means you don't have faith in God. And fear and faith do not walk hand in hand. So fear really keeps people stuck in a place that God does not is not the will of God. God wants you to start a business. You're thinking, but I have faith. How can I start a business? God wants you to start a ministry. God wants you to start a radio network. God wants you to start a TV program. God wants you to write a book. And you have been sitting on the same spot year after year, speaking about it, dreaming about it, not doing anything, because you are listening to the voice of fear. The voice of fear is not the voice of God, because the voice of God will give you plans, will give you wisdom, will give you strategies to help you get to where you are meant to get to. You know, I'm thinking of Daniel. When Daniel went to the kingdom of Nebuchadnezzar, and Daniel said he is not going to eat like other people, and he ate vegetables and drank water. And he knew that when he does that, he will hear the wisdom he needed. And so because of that, he had no fear. So if you don't hear from God, I want to encourage you to live a life of fasting, to live a life of prayer, to live a life of waiting upon God and hearing from God. And because his word, like I said, has not come back void. And you must know, the Bible says, God will never leave you or forsake you, you know. And God will never forsake you in any situation, even when you walk in the wilderness. Because sometimes we even fear to walk in the wilderness. Let me tell you, my brother and my sister, there is no man or woman who has been called in his life to do great things that he has not walked a life or a phase in his life of wilderness. You look at people like David. You look like the Israelites. You look at Abraham. You look, there is a time when you really, Abraham had a promise and waited for 29 years. And it was testing at that point in time. But the word of God was spoken. The word of God was spoken. If you hear from God, you have no reason to really move away from the position of God. Instead, when you have heard from God, it is a time when you need to make sure that God changes your character, prepares you, and during that time, you speak and declare and decree the word of God as you have heard from it. So I want to encourage you, and remember again that God said, all things work out for good for those who love God. So when you have fear and you are stuck because you feel that something happened, go back to the word of God and remember that God says all things, not some things, not some time, all things work out for good for the thing, for those who love God. So even if things might not be as smooth, and God never promised us that our path will be smooth. God said when you pass through the waters, when you pass through the fire will not scald you, because I, God, I am with you. So don't let fear of pain, because many people are afraid of fear of pain. We're thinking something, either we will be rejected by people, we will be betrayed by people, we will be humiliated, and that is why. Or we don't even trust our own capabilities, and yet God said to us, be fruitful and multiply, which is God has given us everything that we need inside of us to do that which we are meant to do. So never ever let fear imprison you. Never ever let fear keep you stuck in a position that God has not placed you in. Never ever. You know, I want to say again, there was a time when I was really giving up on something that God has spoken to me about, because I thought, in my mind, I had my own plan to say, yes, God, I know this is what you said, and this is how I think what you said will happen. And one day God said to me, remember, I said, my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways. So in your waiting season, you need to seek out what my thoughts are and not be stuck on your own thoughts. Because when you look with your natural eyes and you see that things are not happening the way they should be, according to your own mental programming, according to your own expectations, you get discouraged. You feel like, God, I think maybe I didn't hear you well. Maybe I shouldn't be continue waiting anymore. Maybe I must depend on my own insight. Maybe I must go to my friends. Maybe I must go to my colleagues and look for other solutions. And God says, At that time, it is not your time to be looking for other solutions. At that time, it's not time to be looking for answers from other people. Sit still in prayer and ask God, what are your thoughts? Let me have a revelation of your thoughts. Let me have a revelation of your ways so that I can be aligned to your ways, so that I can be aligned and walk according to your ways, so that I should not miss a promise. Sometimes we miss a God's promise because we depend on our own insight. We miss our own promise, God's promise, because out of fear, we went and looked for other solutions. You know, God is an awesome God. God, I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Father, that you are speaking to us in this season and saying to us, do not be stuck in a place that I have not chosen for you. Come back to me and be in a position where you can be able to really do much and achieve much, you know, and come back and let me uproot the spirit of fear. Father, I thank you that you are uprooting the spirit of fear. Father, I thank you that all the lies that are speaking in our heads right now, Father, you are silencing them. And Father, as we pray to you and come to you with humility, Lord, we help us that our spiritual ears are open to hear from you and recognize your voice. You know, Father, I remember Job. There was a time when Job was listening to everybody else, and Job came to you questioning you, and what you said to him was, Job, your words are words of ignorance, which means Job was reacting, Father, from the experiences that he had and forgot who he is. Father, remind us who you are. He reminded Job and he said, Job, who told the sun to stand? Who told the sea to stop where it was? Who locked the gates of the sea? Who created the heavens and earth? Father, remind us right now, when we have fear that is blocking us, when we have fear that is troubling us, when we have fear that is causing us to run away from you, Father, remind us of who you are. Remind us, Father, that you have created the heavens and earth. Not only that you have created us, that you knew, like you told Jeremiah, you have plans to prosper us and not to harm us. Father, I thank you, Lord. I thank you for your word. And I thank you that as I speak over the radio, that your Holy Spirit is touching the heart and the mind of your people, Lord, and uprooting fear that is troubling them. But I can see many people that are troubled by fear because of what is happening in the world. Father, remind us that when we come to you and return to you, we are not governed by the world, but we are governed by you, Lord. That now your plans will be the plans of our lives, Lord. That your word will be the word over our lives, Lord. Father, I thank you. I glorify you, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Father, so I see I've got only 4 minutes. And maybe instead of going to other factors, and in the next radio show, we will deal with other factors that are keeping you away out of the position and the place that God has really put you. And you will also start saying, how do you go back to that position? You know, so the question that God was asking is, can I locate you? And he is asking the same question that he asked Adam in the Garden of Eden, and said, Adam, where are you? And when he asked that question, it is not because he did not know where Adam was. It was because he was awakening Adam to the fact that Adam had moved away from his position. Because God expected that communion with Adam, that fellowship, but Adam had moved. God expected to see Adam in the land and the place where he was killing it. You know, also Adam moved even from the physical position. So when you have moved from the land, how can you live a blessed life? How can you be fruitful? How can you multiply? So God is saying, I am looking at you. You are crying. You are questioning a lot of things. But where are you in the season? I want you to come back to me as God. I want you to know that I am your source. I want you to know that I am your healing. I want you to know that I am everything that you want, and I have come so that you can have life and have life of abundance. So let go of pride, you know. Pride comes before the fall. Let go, allow God to uproot the spirit of fear, you know. So when we get to the next program, we will continue. And one of the things that I want to teach about, first, another reason for it is comfort zone. So that I won't go there, but to be in a comfort zone, it is also a dangerous place where you stay for a long time in a place that you're not supposed to, and you miss your season. Father, I thank you. Father, I honor you for your word. Father, I pray, Lord, that you continue to enlighten us. You continue to awaken us. Let the Holy Spirit be our comforter, be our counselor. Lord, that you have a revelation of your truth, and the truth set us free, Lord. And the truth, because the Bible says, if my people will perish because of lack of knowledge. Father, give us revelation, Father. Give us the wisdom to know and have the key that will guide us to a life of abundance, a life that you have promised us. I thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen and amen.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Good evening, beloved family. This is Thabo Majie, and welcome to tonight's episode of The Love Talk. I am so excited, and I'm so blessed to be with you. It is about the gospel, it is about Christ, and it is also about us. Let me remind you of what we shared in the previous week. We spoke about identifying patterns of failure. And therefore, I hope that you are blessed by that message. And tonight, or in my side of the world, I can say it's tonight, we're going to be discussing how to disconnect from the past. This is one subject which I know is closer to many people's hearts, and therefore many are still struggling and trying to find ways and means of how to disconnect from the past so that they can enjoy their lives. Now, I'm just going to share a few points with you which I believe they will bless you in the process, and just to try and give us an idea as to which areas of our lives need to be identified, which areas of our lives need to be recognized, because they are the ones that usually get a hold of the past for us. The first one that I need to share with you is the reality that all of us need to understand and acknowledge the fact that letting go of the past is a decision. That is the foundation. That is where it starts. Whatever that you want to let go, you have to make a deliberate decision to let go of it, because it is just not going to detach itself automatically from you. So you need to make that decision. If maybe the past, you are looking at hurt, pain, disappointment, frustrations, failures, you're going to have to make a decision, prayerfully so, to say, I am letting go, and I'm going to start with the process of letting go. Remember, the enemy is just not going to let go of you. You are a child of God. You've been saved from his den. You've been saved from his conduct, his behavior. You've been saved from his hell, and therefore you become his number one enemy as well, because now you are a child of God. And therefore, he is going to keep on trying to hook you back to where you were before, so that he can continue to use you, to abuse you, and to distract you from your purpose. So the first point that you need to look at is that you need to prayerfully make a decision to say, I am letting go of the past. The past could be a whole lot of things. Could be hurt and disappointment from relationships, from families, from marriages, from failures, be it in business or in anything else. But anything that still attaches itself to you, or you still have a hold on it, you have to decide to let it go, because it is not going to let you go. So it is your decision. You have the power and the authority to let it go. Remember, everybody can pray for you. Everybody can encourage you. But at the end of the day, it is your decision to say, I am letting go of everything that is keeping me stagnant from my progress in life, from prosperity, from me reaching my purpose in life, from me living a life that is pleasing to God, or to living the life that God has predestined for you. So make a decision and say, I am letting go. The second point that I need to share with you is spiritual disconnection. We know that a whole lot of things operate in the spiritual realm. So it is very important that where after you have made a decision to let go of the past, you need to understand the reality that it has to be disconnected in the spiritual. So if you need to disconnect it in the spiritual, you need to engage with Christ. You need to engage with God. You need to engage with the Word and the Holy Spirit, the life that the Word speaks in your life. Confess the life that Christ says you should confess. Be someone who is so committed to a relationship with God, and therefore understanding where he wants you to be, and also your purpose for existence. So remember, something the enemy wants to distract you from your purpose. So therefore, in order to dismantle yourself, especially over things which you cannot see with the naked eye, that is where you have to engage with the Word. Read the Word almost every time. Read the Word. Pray over what God says you are. Pray over what God says this is for you, and this is the life that I want you to have. You're going to have to receive that ability and the strength and the courage to let go from your spiritual ability. And that you can only gain when you engage with the Holy Trinity. So spiritual disconnection, it is very important, because it also opens the way to our third point, which I will get to very shortly. When you have a spiritual standing and you are content in things of the Lord, in who God says you should be, when you understand where God wants you to be in life, that need your spiritual commitment, that being prayer, reading the Word, engaging with the Word, speaking with the Word, engaging through the power of the Holy Spirit with your destiny. That is what is going to help you to gain spiritual control over your life, knowing that you submit to Christ and therefore only He can be your head. Remember, what the enemy is trying to do is try to dismantle you and to actually discourage you so that you can lose that spiritual disconnection. And when you have lost the spiritual connection with your God, unfortunately, the past will find it very easy to come into your life, especially from a spiritual point of view. So our lives are run in the spiritual realm, so we need to make sure that we engage with God so that He can clear the path and we will be able to have a clear communication with Him, understanding what He says and what He wants out of us when it comes to matters of the heart, being the love, the relationships, the marriage, and the family. You need to let go of the past from a spiritual point of view. And the third point that I'm sharing with you is mental disconnection. This one is what contributes a lot to the fourth point that I will share with you later on. Our mind, the Bible encourages us to renew our mind with the Word. Whatever that you think, whenever the thought of the past entices you, whenever they remind you of where you were, the pain that you used to experience, the hurt and the disappointment that you experienced in the past, they will all start in the mind. So the moment you give in to those thoughts and you meditate on those thoughts, they will have dominion over your mind, and therefore you will find yourself still going back to the past. So it is very important, because these points are actually intertwined. When your spirit, when you have decided to disconnect spiritually, now your mind is going to receive that which is ministered to from the Spirit by Christ, by God, and by the Word. And therefore, you will be able to renew your mind. And every time the thought which reminds you of the past comes, then the Holy Spirit will drop Himself and say, by the way, the Word of God says this about that particular situation. So the Holy Spirit will bring a reminder into your mind, those thoughts that you meditate in your subconscious will be able to deal with them. So therefore, the mental disconnection submits and receives from your spiritual disconnection. Now, we have to open that channel. Your mind has to think like your spirit does. Your mind has to influence how you have to decide, how you have to do things, what you meditate on, what you have to do when you are faced with thoughts which are not supposed to be in your mind at that particular time. The past will always bring itself to remembrance in your mind, because that is something that you know, that is something that is painted on your mind, and therefore you have the ability and the power to disconnect from it. Remember, unless you control the mind, unless you dictate to the mind that this is what we are going to think about, we are not going to dwell on the past, unfortunately, you will always find yourself having to go back to the past and making decisions that will take you backwards instead of moving forward. And therefore, the fourth point that I need to share with you is emotional disconnection. This is where a whole lot of people find it difficult to let go of the past. But the reason being, the reality that our emotions, in actual fact, react to what we think. So therefore, whatever that we think about and we decide to meditate on will influence our emotions. And when we are feeling in a certain way which relates to the past, then we will either find ourselves having gone back to the past, emotionally given into the temptations of the past from our emotional point of view, and therefore we will be a distraction to self. So the emotional part of it, this is where the enemy plays with a whole lot of us. This is where he keeps a hold. I'm just going to give you an example. When you have not disconnected emotionally from the past, what is going to happen is that, let's say, for instance, you come from a dysfunctional family. Let's say, for instance, you were violated in the past. You were abused, or perhaps you were raped, or perhaps you went through a very tragic experience in your love life, in your relationship or marriages. What happens is that every time you see anything that reminds you of the past, it's more like the enemy is doing it to you over and over again. For instance, when you have been raped and you're watching a movie, and therefore the movie involves rape, and then you sit back and start thinking about how it happened to you, why it happened to you, and you start getting hurt over and over again. That is what happens, because the enemy is doing it to you over and over again in your emotions. Hence, it is important that you teach your mind to submit to the Holy Spirit, so that whatever your thoughts that you have or meditate on will influence how you feel about a particular incident that happened to you. Or your thoughts should be able to minister to your emotions and bring order into those emotions. I'm even reminded of Jesus and his disciples were in the boat, and the sea was raging, and it brings to me a clear indication of emotional imbalance when it comes to the disciples, because they started panicking, and the moment they panicked, they could not think clearly. They could not realize that, by the way, Christ, who is with us on this boat, has given us the power and the ability to calm the storms. But just because their minds were not submitting or drawn to the things of the Spirit, they therefore dwelt in their emotions. And when they dwelt in their emotions, they could not think rationally or to think right in terms of just saying, "Peace, be still." That is where they failed, and therefore they had to wake up Christ. I would say, it is impossible for somebody to sleep in that particular type of a situation. When the sea is raging and the boat is just in a mess and in chaos, somebody is going to have to wake up. But Christ remained asleep because he trusted them to calm the storms. But they did not trust themselves and the power that Christ actually bestowed upon them. And therefore, they still needed him to resolve the storm that was attacking them. Hence, even in this life, when you are faced with something like that, the past, which actually keeps replaying in your emotions and hurting you over and over again, you need to understand that you are with Christ, and he has given you the ability to overcome those storms. Because most of the things that find us in unfortunate situations, they usually are processed in our emotions. the decisions we make in most cases, they don't materialize because we take them back to how we feel about the particular issue. And the moment you surrender the mental power and ability to your emotions, which are imbalanced in reality, which are not even stable in reality, then you're going to lose your sense of sanity. Your mind is going to be all over the place. Your spirit, your mind will not be able to even listen to what the spirit is saying to assist you in order to have control over the situation. And therefore, the fifth point that I need to share with you, physical disconnection. Physical disconnection also depends entirely on how disconnected you are in the emotions. Our flesh reacts to what we feel. That is where, in most cases, when we go back to the past, or maybe find ourselves physically attached to the past, be it in a relationship or in a marriage which was toxic, and therefore you still find yourself going back and submitting yourself physically to that particular situation, is simply because there is no balance, there is no connection between the flesh, which is the physical, and the emotions. So that also means that our emotions are not submitting to our thoughts, and our thoughts are not submitting to the Holy Spirit. So you have to say to yourself, if I can create this balance from the spirituality, and therefore make it a point that it influences my thoughts, my spiritual position should influence my thoughts, and my thoughts should influence how I feel about the past. And how I feel about the past, I have to therefore make it a point that my flesh submits to that. So if there is chaos in your emotions, your flesh is going to submit to what the emotion says. A typical example, when you are angry or you fight or you burst out, it's simply because your emotions are in chaos. You are reacting emotionally, and therefore your physique just gives in to what the emotions tells it to do. Hence, it is important to create that balance. Remember, let me say this to you again. You have to make a decision to disconnect from the past. It is a decision, a deliberate decision. And secondly, you have to disconnect spiritually. Engage with the Word. Engage with God through the power of the Holy Spirit. He is going to equip you with enough knowledge and information and the wisdom that you need to disconnect from the past. And therefore, engage on mental disconnection. Your spirituality has to saturate your mind, your thoughts. You know, especially those subliminal thoughts, those hidden thoughts, your spirituality needs to minister to those. And therefore, when your mind is ministered to by the Spirit, then your emotions are going to submit to the balance that you have in your mind, in your thoughts. Your good thoughts, your right thoughts will minister to your emotions, and your emotions are going to minister to your body, to your physicality, to your flesh, and therefore you'll have the balance. And the last point that I want to make is, please disconnect from the blame mentality. If you have been violated, which created a whole lot of hurt and pain, and which you find yourself still struggling to let go of the past, please let go of the blame mentality. And I'm going to share this with you. The person or whoever hurt you or violated you in the past does not have the right or does not have the ability to heal you. You have to engage with and within yourself and with God in order to heal. So therefore, don't blame anybody who hurt you in the past. Love and forgive them, but move on. And the only way to move on is when you say, I have forgiven you. I don't blame you. You are not my enemy. But now this is my time to look at which decisions did I make which contributed to me being with you in this relationship or in this marriage. Remember, it is you having this conversation with yourself. Where did you go wrong? Last time we spoke about the law of attraction. How did you get to a point of attracting the same people over and over again and they hurt you? And trust me, until you let go of the blame mentality, every person whom you engage with in matters of love and they hurt and disappoint you will always be wrong. And that is not how it is supposed to be, because you have to sit back and look at the patterns of failure, as we discussed last time, and say, I'm not going to blame anyone. I'm going to take responsibility for the fact that I contributed to making the decision to be with this particular type of a person. It was not my fault. It was, I did it perhaps without knowledge. I did it ignorantly so, but at the end of the day, God has forgiven me for this mistake that I did, and therefore I am not going to engage with the past any longer. My beloved people, that is all I have for you today. I love you. I appreciate you. And I believe that God will minister to you through the message that I just shared with you today. This is Thabo Matshiya. And from the Matshiya family and the Love Talk, we love you. We say, God bless you. Amen.